Andrew Barry coming up at 10. Who the hell's in charge of this whole thing? Because this does throw more smoke and more mirrors towards who's ordering code reds and things like that. Like, Keith put up a video of us, you and I, about where we feel about the Browns, and somebody went, no conversation about DePodesta. I go, I don't know what DePodesta does. What a job. He gets paid millions. He lives in San Diego. He answers for nothing. When the Browns are good, somehow he shows up and he gets credit. When the Browns are bad, I'm so mad at all the other things, he rarely gets brought up because he's nowhere to be found.
Didn't he do a press conference last year during the playoff run?
I'm sure he did. And I go, guys, I would love to rant and rave and go after Paul DePodesta. I don't know what he does. What's a chief strategy officer do? So is he the one pulling the strings? I think a lot of us just assume he might be, since he's not the one here, and it would all make sense that a guy who's not really here would be the one pulling the strings. The buck always stops at the owners, but I could say that in every city, in every town, about sport.
Here it is. I think, just overall, a broader sense question. Why would Jimmy Haslam, following a three-win season, they went from 11 wins to three. That only happens when you lose a Hall of Famer. That only happens in NBA terms when LeBron leaves, and then the next year you've got what you've got. Like, this is pretty amazing that they had that drop-off. Why would Jimmy not clean house?
Because so many people believe that he's the one who made the decision to go after Deshaun Watson and bury Baker Mayfield. And so they feel like he maybe feels bad about it. So he wants to give them all another chance.
I think, of course, you and I have been hearing differently over the last
umpteen years, but that's a conversation that we'll have until we die.
I think there's a few things here. I think, number one, there's some not stage fright. How would you deem it that they've done this before?
Yeah, I don't think he wants to go through this again.
So that's the first one. The snake bitten feeling that that's not the way to do it. We want stability. We finally do, believe it or not. I know people scoff at this. It feels like they have respect from around the league. Guys have gotten poached out from under them. Look at Minnesota. They feel like the Browns have a professional operation for the first time in forever. I know it's not where any of us wanted to be, but I'm just going through the arguments. Then the next part of this, Kenny, which I think is really, really, really important. I think he trusts those guys. So he's actually looking at it maybe big picture. I think he trusts Paul DePodesta. I think Paul's made him a lot of money.
Man, you keep saying that. I'm like, well, what the hell does that mean?
I think too with the stadium stuff. I think the stadium deal is about to make him a lot of money, too.
You know what? And that's the thing. You know what? Like, Dave Jenkins, I know to be a man of business, right? Mm-hmm. I trust him with business. Do I want him involved in football decisions? Like, you're telling a chief strategy officer, like, we were hearing these are football decisions.
Yeah.
Well, if you're telling me about stadium stuff, that scares me.
But I also, I understand that. You should. I get all that.
I've known Dave a long time. I've never known him to make football decisions, so I don't accuse him of that.
I kind of have gotten the gist. I've gone over this before, that I think DePodesta's work is kind of done. I think when there are hiring situations, like, I think he's gotten in there, whatever, but I think in laying out the guardrails, laying out their operations, how they go about doing their business, I think Paul has done all that work.
I think a lot of people would hope that he's done, because this is not great. None of this is really good.
No.
You've had an 8-year rebuild. You've made the playoffs twice. You have one win. That's not good.
No.
It's not good enough.
That's
anyway.
Why I said in most situations there would be a house cleaning. I think that...
Would that make fans feel better if they were just like, hey, you know what? Paul DePodesta is no longer... He's moving on to other things. Would that make fans feel any better about things?
It probably would.
Because I tell you what, it might clear up a little bit, because it's going, okay, well, somebody was... You want to find a scapegoat, and then you might find a scapegoat. Because if all of a sudden they were going to go, hey, Paul DePodesta is going to go work on other projects, and we wish him well. All right, well, then that would lead a lot of us, whether true or not, this would all be speculation. Well, he was the one who decided to go against Alex Van Pelt and all the other coaches that were there, got rid of them, brought in these new ones to keep pushing through this Deshaun Watson agenda.
You think it'd be enough for him to just move to a different area of the organization and not be involved?
Once you're involved in football, I think you're always going to be somewhat involved in football.
That's what I would worry about. And until you are no longer a member of the Cleveland Browns organization, Paul.
Yeah, you think he would seep back in if things went off the rails?
Yes, because you always go back to people that you are. Guys, this is the reversed Howie Roseman with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
The Eagles have gone on to great success since Chip Kelly. The Browns, remember, they pushed Paul DeBodest and everybody aside when they brought in John Dorsey. John Dorsey said, real football players, and damn it, they did things his way. And then once he was gone, because he made the fatal mistake of hiring Freddie Kitchens as the full-time head coach, well, then they came back. This is the reverse of what, like, if Howie Roseman would have went on to no success or very, very, very little, like, that's what this would have been. So that's what we're dealing with. So you go with something that you knew was completely off the rails, and it was when it came back to Freddie Kitchens, and now you go with something that you know is at least something that you trust, but he trusts him. I can't. So do I trust him? Do the fans trust him? Do they have confidence in the situation? No. And I'm telling everybody this morning that, hey, they're probably going to draft a quarterback number 2 overall just because of this bad situation. They have to look forward in some case. And, guys, I'm not making any sort of full-throated endorsement on either one of them. Shedeur Sanders has played against 2 real defenses. Ain't looked great against those 2 real defenses. Cam Ward, hey, I like Cam Ward fairly enough. Cam Ward was supposed to be a day 3 pick last year. Now Cam Ward's going to be at the top of the draft. Tells you the draft class for quarterbacks ain't that good. And there's the whole thing of him sitting in the second half of the bowl game, which I hope there's a good reason for it, and we'll probably will get a good reason for it, but it ain't a good look.
That seems like it was a year ago.
They are killing him. All last week, they're killing him for it. So I got to think, we got to get going in that direction. And I just think they're going to make a decision on a quarterback, and more than likely, it's going to be another square peg, round hole, bad situation that we might be right back at the top of the draft in 2027, a year after the good draft class. Because now you have a front office that you're getting another year. Are you going to tell them that they're going to deal with, can you convince them that we could sit through another 12 months of bad football to get to the next draft class of quarterbacks where we're a little bit more comfortable in taking one of those guys? Hell no, they're not going to do that. So I think they're going to do something where they sell the ownership and try to sell the fan base on a rookie QB. And you and me as general managers, as fans, and the listeners as general managers, as fans, we never get fired for it. None of us think it's a great idea. We're in a bad spot, and I only see it getting worse. And now, again, who's making the decisions now? They get rid of the coaches. They bring in new coaches. They get rid of those coaches within a year. Is this where Kevin is finally consolidating whatever power that he may have never had before?
Yeah, I mean, what? Van Pelt's probably coming right back, right? Now, he might not be the OC. They might just make him the quarterback's coach. And then,
if Van Pelt does come right back, then maybe that's good for Kevin. That, okay, finally the two-time coach of the year. We got to stop saying that. The two-time coach of the year is actually in charge of the franchise or in the players that he's coaching. Maybe that might make us feel a little bit better. Okay, then why do we waste a year of Myles Garrett in his prime where we didn't see the forest for the trees when every fan out there was saying, why are you making this, that, and the other move after a playoff run? That's even more maddening to a fan base. Again, when it looks to the fans like they have more common sense than the franchise, that's bad.
Well, that's why I wonder.
It feels that way for a lot of fans.
We're going to do 1,000 hours of shows based on what they're supposed to do at quarterback, whether they do it in the draft or whether they do it in free agency or, you know, the Kirk Cousins situation. With the amount of pressure that is on everybody now following a 3-14 year, do you think they are going to leave that up to a rookie quarterback? I kind of feel like it is why I think they're going to go the Kirk Cousins route.
But if they keep the veterans that they have, you could talk yourself into it. Not that I would agree with it right now. You could talk yourself into it and go, well, we're in a better situation than we were when we brought in DeShone Kizer and wasted that second round pick. Put a quarterback with a lot of questions and a lot of things that he would have to work with him on and with a team that had a lot of things that they had to work on. It's a recipe for disaster. That's why, like, if people are talking about, hey, you know what, maybe you could take Jalen Milroe on Friday. Well, if you keep your veteran team, maybe you could, even though, good God, everybody's talking about how bad that situation is. Bobby and Willowick. Bobby, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Bobby, who's making the decisions now?
Listen, we need to go after offensive linemen.
No, wait a minute. I'll get to that in a second. Who do you think's making the decisions?
It's definitely the head coach, my belief, and the coaches he puts underneath him. Okay. Not the owner.
All right. But would that make you feel better? Would that make you feel better about the future of this franchise?
Listen, this is my opinion about this. Okay. It's all opinion, okay? Offensive linemen, defensive linemen. Defense wins championships. We got, listen, Deshaun Watson came in. Everyone thought he was going to change everything. He's not going to change everything. The guy didn't play for 2 years. So what we have to do now, we have to swallow the mistake we made. We're going to have to put him back out there. We don't go after any outstanding quarterback in college football because right now there isn't any. So there's none that takes your breath away, and you guys have to admit that. You could say Sanders is excellent in college, but there's a different level when you get to the NFL.
Yeah.
So what we need to do, let's focus on our offensive line. Let's focus on our defense. Let's put a defense in there. Listen, you can't lose a game if you don't let them score.
Bobby, I got a different question here. All right, yeah. Let me ask you this, and I got to let you go. Do you have confidence in Andrew Berry?
No. Not at all.
All right. Bobby, I want to answer that when we come back. 216-474-0092. I'm going to play psychiatrist here for just a second when we come back. So we're left with more questions than answers right now. I do have an answer about the Cavs talk that will be coming up at 8:20. I think Evan Mobley might be becoming the player that we wished other players would become in this generation. Right on time, too. Thank goodness for us. Colby Altman also gives you a little bit of pause, like, yeah, you always be careful about what you say about a general manager or a team president in his case now. Because they look hella good over there at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. More coming up at 8:20. We just took a call from Bobby in Willowick, and Bobby went immediately to your defense wins championships, and I could feel, I was looking down at the table when he said it, I could feel the other eyes in the room rolling down the hallway. Am I right about that, or am I wrong about that, Tone?
It just seemed like a call from a bygone era.
Well, that's part of it. That should show you, if anybody in Berea is listening, and they do, that should show you where your fan base is right now. Because we immediately go back to protectionism. They don't trust the organization. It's not even just about, like, if John Dorsey were to magically come back and said, I like Cam Ward. You know how many people would call up saying that we need to take Cam Ward? You know how many people would do that? If John Dorsey came back and said, I don't care what you guys say about his daddy, I love Shedeur Sanders. Oh, my God. They'd be running to the podium. They'd be wanting to trade up with Tennessee to go after Shedeur Sanders just to make sure, Tone, because what do you always say? You can't jump number one. You make sure you take your spot no matter what it is. It's about who you trust to do it. But they don't trust them to make that pick. They don't trust him. So we go back to protectionism. And am I going to tell Bobby he's wrong? Because I'm going, hey, I'm one of the guys who say, hey, you know, you look at a team like the Bears are really good at drafting a fantasy team. You need to build from the inside out. You got your quarterback. You need to protect that quarterback. You need to get a good defensive line. You need guys who are going to play and play solid for you for a long period of time. They'd rather him trade back and take a solid pick like Mason Graham or Will Campbell out of LSU. That guy could be our left tackle for the next umpteen years, like Joel was, a guy we trust. We can get a great guard like Joel was, a guy we trust. We trust these guys. We can get another defensive end. No one's going to be like Miles, but close to Miles, a guy we trust. We go right back to it. So we'll get these calls, and people will go, I can't believe we're listening to defense wins championships. You know damn well why we're going to get those calls. And you know why they'll say it, and I'm not going to tell any of them they're wrong. I'm not going to do it because I don't have that much confidence in who's making the picks either.
I know. All I'm saying is, and this is obviously this draft, when it comes to wide receivers, has been maligned. We know what's going to happen. Always when it comes to quarterbacks, they always end up the inflation that happens every year. Like we've lost, I've heard Todd McShay say we've lost the middle class of quarterbacks. So all second round quarterbacks, they're going to go in the first, and so there's not going to be any.
I don't know if we have really by the chance. By the way, like Baker Mayfield's playing on a nice solid contract that would probably be middle class. Yeah. Sam Darnold, I think, is probably going to get
draft,
a solid contract
because Baker went number one overall, and it's all the guys that normally would go in the second and third round.
I think that's your new middle class.
They'll just
go
in the first.
I think that's your new middle class, guys who people give up on a little bit too soon, guys who have to mature. A little bit column A, a little bit column B with both those quarterbacks.
Yeah, Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Look at where he went too. But the bigger point is saying that, you know, who was saying last year, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, he looks really good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Drake May looks got a terrible team, but he looks good. It seems like Bo Nix, I mean, now he's going to the playoffs. I don't think Bo Nix is great.
He's in a good situation with a good coach.
But in 1 year, rookie quarterback going to the playoffs, you're seeing it with Washington, with the Commanders. We weren't saying that about those quarterbacks last year, were we? So we just got to be careful here. We got to be careful just assuming because guys weren't at a certain level in college. There are situations where there can be development, good development stories.
I happen to watch a team that's won a few championships, and their defense has been good, but it wasn't the defense that won the championships. I mean, they got Patrick Mahomes, and that changed everything for a franchise.
I think this year your defense has gotten you to that number one overall seed, but I think eventually you win a championship, it's going to be because of him.
Look at his last 6 weeks of football. Understood. He's ready to go for playoff.
But also, what would Browns fans say if we were looking at Patrick Mahomes in this draft? What we knew about Patrick Mahomes then, what
the
would
Texas
fans be
Tech
saying?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, what would fans be saying? No, you can't take him.
Right.
So just be careful. Be careful. Just because guys are at a certain level in college, I think now especially with the way they transfer, move to different situations, the book should not be completely closed on usually, that. We can find flaws in all these guys.
In a lot of ways, I'd agree with you, but I don't think I will in this case. I think that we can talk ourselves out of quarterbacks any chance we get because they're scary. They're scary to take. The busts are so much bigger than the booms. There's so many more busts than the booms anymore. But I'm telling you right now, in this case, I hear the callers and I go, what argument do I have where I go, I trust you, Andrew. Go get me my quarterback now. Go do that. I can't. And I won't. Maybe he'll say something at 10 o'clock today that I'm going to feel better that it will carry on the fan.
Because of that, then you're going to say the same thing the year later. We're not going to take quarterback in that draft either. Like, when are we taking a quarterback then?
Because if it goes the way that a lot of people are thinking they're going to go, they're probably going to be bad next year, and that means there will be a house cleaning. And then people will go, hey, I trust this guy. Well, why do you trust this guy? We can't mess it up
now
because there's Arch Manning at the top of the draft or Drew Aller's at the top of the draft. That's where they'll take it. 216-474-0092. Henry in Strongsville, you're first up on the fan. Yellow, Henry.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys are dismissing the defense. And you guys actually helped my point because you went off on a tangent on how great Mahomes is. But in 2021, not 1989, Anthony, how many points did you need in the Super Bowl to beat Mahomes? 10. Because Tampa Bay rushed four. They had four strong D linemen. And we're able to drop 7. And correct me if I'm wrong, but behind the line of scrimmage, Mahomes had a run for 200 to 300 yards because the defense pounded him. They gave you the game plan. If we want to get through the AFC, how do you beat Mahomes? You get pressure on him with 4, which they did. So why would we not follow that?
Because you got to get there. How are you getting there? You got to get there because you got to have offense.
I'm not gonna go down
how are you getting to the Super Bowl? How are you? Hold on. Think about what you just said.
Now, guys, come
to
on.
To get there, you have to put up points.
Come on. Now.
You don't just get to the Super Bowl scoring 10 points.
Where were we that same year, Anthony?
Come on. Now.
What were we? How close were we?
So you think that all you have to do is get a good defense and you're going to get by Josh Allen, who puts up 40 every week. To get by Patrick Mahomes, to get by Joe Burrow, to get by Lamar Jackson. Think about what you're saying. And Justin Herbert is only getting better. So you think having the eighth best quarterback, having the eighth best quarterback in the AFC is the formula to get to the Super Bowl?
Happy New Year.
You think that?
What you need?
What year do you think this is?
Hey, woo-hee's.
Oh, Anthony,
you sound so silly. You are a relic from a bygone era in the NFL.
Henry, hold on for a second.
That's like saying in baseball, we got to go station to station in 2024.
Who do you want them to take? Tell me who you want them to take now.
I want them to take a stab at quarterback every year until they get one.
Do you trust the guy?
You even told me you've come to my side. You've told me. But now all of a sudden, I don't. Okay, so if you don't trust them, don't take. Anybody.
I'm not yelling. Can trust them to take every other position other than quarterback in the NFL when we all have come to the side that
the quarterback is the only thing that matters. And the reason we are 3-14 is because we botched the quarterback decision. Pick
Anthony,
a side.
I remember you talking about Deshaun Watson.
Because he was a top five quarterback when he was in Houston. And so was a third of the league.
Henry's right. He was wrong.
And Henry, what did we get for Baker Mayfield when it was an open market for Baker Mayfield? We got a third day draft pick because everybody thought he sucked. Don't act like that wasn't a.
I'm not saying go back to Baker. You guys.
So what would you have done, Henry? What would you have done? You had a good defense. Where did that get you?
Well, what do you want to do on the defensive side, Henry?
I would bolster it. How did Tampa Bay beat Kansas City that year? How'd they do it?
They had Vita Vea back, which was a huge difference there in that Super Bowl.
Kansas City started four third-string linemen.
Yeah,
they in that did. Super Bowl.
Yeah, Vita Vea is a very underrated player in that Super Bowl.
But they beat them through the defense. That's all I'm asking you to realize.
How did they get there, though?
Well, and then Kansas City won two Super Bowls after that.
You're going to tell me Brady was not – they had Leonard Fournette, which also went on.
Brady got them to the playoffs.
So they had the Hall of Fame. They had the best quarterback in NFL history, but we're just going to talk about the defense.
Henry, when you talk about this call later, remember, I was the one who didn't yell at
you. Whoa.
And remember how badly and how soundly you were defeated in this horrible argument.
No, I don't think he was.
My God.
I don't think he was.
Let's talk about football while they were wearing leather helmets.
I disagree
and that's
with
the
you.
Formula.
I think Henry is exactly the type of, well,
and you guys rip on Paul DePodesta.
Well,
this is even worse logic.
You better preserve your voice because you're going to be yelling at a hell of a lot of people. Because again, I don't want to waste a number two.
I mean, Kenny
pick.
Agreed with me the last 2 months. Hey, maybe. How many times has Kenny said, Owen? How many times has Kenny been like, Lime, I've come to your side?
The general idea of it. I would. But again, if you don't trust the people making the decision, if you don't have confidence in the people making the decision, then you're just throwing it away. It's the Glengarry leads. To give them to you and just be throwing them away. To give this pick to you and just be throwing it away.
But Kenny, that's even more confounding to me that you would say, because we don't trust the guy making the pick, don't ever take a quarterback. Well, what sense is that? Why let him take anybody?
Because,
so just admit, fire Andrew Berry is what you're saying.
Because I can
you
take
are
a guy,
saying fire Andrew Berry. Do
I
not
can,
allow him I can, to have the chance to screw up a next draft.
I'm not going to say it. You're not
going
to make me say it.
Why aren't you saying it?
You're not going to make me say it. I'm not going to do it.
But it's your philosophy.
I'm not going to do it.
It's everything you're standing for.
I'm not going to do it. But
the fans can hear it.
But
the listeners of this show can hear that you think Andrew Berry should be fired.
I do not say that. You said that. I did not. But you have to understand.
I don't know why you just won't say it.
If I take a guy who's quote-unquote safer, and they may not be. I mean, Jed Wills was not a safe pick. In the grand scheme of things, they all ended up not being very good. So you end up being just as mad about a guy like Jed Wills as, well, you wouldn't be as mad as you would be a quarterback, but you'd still be pretty mad. It feels that in the upcoming decisions that need to be made, a safer pick would probably be better for all of us because they don't trust anybody in charge. You're going to bring in one of these guys who people are lukewarm at best. No one's in love with these guys, and you're going to put them with a group that people don't trust. How am I supposed to yell at Henry and Strongsville?
No, what you're saying is you're yelling at Andrew Berry, who you won't fire.
I am yelling at Andrew Berry.
I'm calling you Jimmy
Haslam.
I'm calling you Jimmy Haslam for the day. What are you doing? What are you doing with Andrew Berry? You're getting rid of him. If you don't trust him, then he can't pick your players.
I don't need to say it. You say it for me. Nicholas in Columbus. He's listening on the Free Odyssey app. He's next up on the fan. Hello, Nicholas.
What's up, Ken? It's been a minute since what you said. You were asking people, you know, do they trust people who's making a decision? And I was calling to say I felt that was a pointless question.
Oh.
Because they all sucked.
Okay.
The coach sucked.
I don't think I even ask it. I was asking, you know, because I'll tell you, no, Nicholas, people. The reason I said it is because the person wanted to, what, they wanted to trade Miles. That's right.
Yeah.
Todd and Ward 1 wanted to trade Miles. That's why I said that, Nicholas.
Right, but what I'm saying is that this, though.
They all suck.
Regardless, they all suck.
The power rank them, Nicholas.
Power rank, who's the worst?
Give me the suckiest.
Let's go.
You want me to start bottom to top or top to bottom?
Top to bottom.
All right, so number one, Jimmy Haslam and D. Haslam. All right, number two. Kevin Stefanski, number three. What's the dude?
Kevin
Berry. Number four, John DePodesta. I probably said his name incorrectly. And number
it's
five,
Paul.
Whoever else is, Paul DePodesta. Excuse me. There you go. And whoever else, I don't know, man. They all suck, man. It's just like the only people who should stay are the Haslams. That's because they own the team. But like Stefanski, you know, the Schwartz dude. You know, that was fool's gold. It's just bad, man. A few months ago, you had a call and say it's time for rebuild because we're looking at 2030. And I do think we're looking at 2030 when this team is finally back in order.
No.
I mean, look, we're putting Band-Aids where resurgence needs to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's bad, man. Like, we had one playoff win, y'all. Y'all just said it a few seconds ago. We've had one playoff win. I'm 43. I sound like my father.
You're talking to you're going to be 47 by the time that they are a competitive football team again, Nicholas.
Man, look, man, I got a 9-year-old son. I can't force him into this. I'm from Cleveland, but I can't force him into this, man. This is rough, man.
I'm hearing that too much.
Look,
hearing that way too much.
Look at the Guardians. Look at us. The Browns are who they are.
If
man.
I can force my children into it, Nicholas, so can you,
bro. Listen, I'm letting my son. He can pick, man.
No,
he ain't a Clevelander like me. You know what I'm saying? It's why I don't want him to be miserable. Mm. I am my father now, bro. I'm 43. I'm my father. Mm. I'm him talking to me. It's ridiculous.
If you
bro.
Think
it's
I'm going to sit there at Christmas dinner and 20 years from now dealing with this from a fan base, and thank you for the call, from a son who isn't a fan of this going, I don't know why you followed it into hell like you are, which I'll be lucky to be around in 20 years, but still, to have that, I ain't going to deal with it. No, they're coming with me. If I'm going to hell, the kids are coming with me. I expect...
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
You to do the same. Coming up next... Again, Tone, you're going to hate me. You're going to hate me in the next 100 days, man, because Henry's in Strongsville and all these guys, I'm going to line up and I'm going to agree with them. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because if you don't trust who's making these decisions, if you don't have a lot of confidence in the decision-making process, yeah, people are going to go right back to defense wins championships and offensive line radio. Because that's the least amount of risk. Those are the people we trust the most. Ain't my fault. It's their fault.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML,
my life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, we have a lot more reaction to get to after that explosive segment. But since my wife asked about how your cleanup was doing, as I told her last week, hey, Kenny missed his window. He had a perfect day.
It's terrible.
To take down all the lights. And you didn't do it, surprised me.
Tired, lazy, didn't want to waste my days off. Doing that, and then
it was right after Christmas, right? There was a day. Yep. Was it the day after Christmas?
47 degrees outside and decent out.
Felt like a 60 degree day.
And I just did. I think part of it was I was lazy, I'll admit, and I also did not want to close the holiday season so quickly because Thanksgiving was so late, yep. And then we only had a little bit of a holiday season, and that was it. And I wasn't ready to say goodbye to the holidays yet. So I figured I would probably try to stick it on and go, well, it's going to be 20 degrees. It'll be cold, but I've done it before. I'll take them down in the cold. I didn't expect it to snow a foot on Friday, which I went out there Friday morning, and I go, I got to get these inflatables out of here. That's a bad look after the holidays.
I see them all
so
over, Kenny.
I got the inflatables out of there, which, boy, they get dirty. You don't realize how damn dirty them things get. And then I went to, it started snowing, bad, and I was going to, I'm not getting up on the ladder and taking these down. I got to leave them up. And so now I still have my Christmas lights up. Am I the trash of the neighborhood? Because it's a race to get them down in my neighborhood. Quick around the room before we get to these calls. Oh, and am I the trash of the neighborhood?
I want to say no, but I also have mine up, and I feel like I'm the trash of the neighborhood. So, yes, you also
there you go.
Are the trash of your neighborhood.
Yeah, trash knows trash. We can all call each other trash if that's the case.
I'm seeing those inflatables all up and down my neighborhood, which means you are not alone. Very few people have taken their stuff down, and now we're in a polar vortex for at least the next week.
Have you deactivated them?
Yes.
Because I have not done that.
Mine was by accident. I ran over the extension cord of the snowblower. And I went, oh, that's not that bad. I looked down and go, oh, these are bleeped. Had to get the cutters out and everything. Mitch, am I the trash of the neighborhood?
I don't know if you're the trash of the neighborhood, but compared to a small town, my parents already got the stuff in and out for the season.
So I'm definitely the trash of an entire town in Strasburg.
But it's a smaller town compared to your area.
Town to town. Do they have a mayor?
They do.
And then I'm the trash of Strasburg,
it's not even a town,
Ohio.
It's a village.
I'm the trash of the village of Strasburg, Ohio. Which is changing their basketball games around to fit the Cotton Bowl. Don't think I didn't notice. All right, go ahead there, Lyman, final one. Am I the trash of the neighborhood?
I'm going to say yeah, but I think it's okay. I think you're not alone.
Okay, feels good.
It's Christmas trash. You're fine.
Okay. Nick and Menner. Nick.
Hey, I got a question.
I got a question for you before you get going on this.
Rick,
am I the trash of the neighborhood?
No.
I'm not.
You're being safe.
Okay. All right.
Just you don't want to climb on a ladder. And
boy, that's a good point. Dangerous time to do that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Nick, go ahead.
So instead of worrying always about the quarterback or what coach we're going to replace, why don't we learn and start getting linemen that can block so that they can be like Baker Mayfield, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yell at him, Tone.
And block.
Yeah, yell at Nick. You going to yell at every caller who calls in to say they don't want a quarterback?
Well, I can't do it.
You
going to
do that? Sounds like you want to.
We don't need Nick. We really don't need anybody else on the offense. All we need is a line that can give the quarterback a chance to throw.
You already yelled at Hendry. Yell at Nick.
What did we think? What did we think? By the way, what did we think? Oh, go ahead.
You don't have time.
It's true. Nick, thank you for the call.
Did you think that the Mike Vrabel-led offensive line, that was one of the details that came out.
Got better.
Yeah, it wasn't even Andy Dickerson. It was Mike Vrabel. Didn't we think the offensive line looked a little better the last third of the year?
I'll tell you one story about that off of there. Tom, one day I'll give you guys the Easter egg, but not yet. Tom in Parma. Tom, hello.
Well, we had the number one coaching candidate this cycle and should have been last cycle in our building, and he couldn't even wait for the season to be over to get out of here. What's that tell us?
Well, that he probably saw what was going on, and well, you know what? No, I got to tell you, I think him and Kevin Stefanski are close, and I think that he knows that he'd have the pick of the litter of organizations, and I think that he came here with no intention to come be the head coach of the Browns. I'm gonna give him that.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him that. That. Yeah, I think I want to give him that benefit of the doubt.
But after seeing all the pre-snap penalties and misformations this year, if I were Jimmy Haslam, I would have let him out the building without a contract.
Well, that's the point of it, Tom. And Tom, thank you for the call, because I brought this up to you, Tone. Like, when people kept going, oh, Vrabel's got to be replaced Kevin Stefanski, we got to make the decision right now. I'm going, wait a minute, you've given Mike Vrabel a front row seat to all of this. And if we believe it's dysfunctional, and if you do, then it's dysfunctional, and then he's seen a front row, he's got a front row seat to all this dysfunction. Now, why would he want to take this over if he doesn't have any faith in the people above him, or he doesn't have faith that he's going to get full control over the organization? I mean, good God, Aditi tweeted it out that he might have made, she heard that he had the interview with the Jets to put pressure on the Patriots to get rid of Jerod Mayo, which that's a power play of power plays. That means Mike Vrabel's going to have all the power. It's going to be Belichick 2.0 over there. I don't know if he's going to have all the power here. So I said that weeks ago, months ago now.
Well, and I think if he ends up getting, you know, the job in New England, right? I mean, that's a place where presumably he would be given all the power that he would want. Uh-huh. I'm not saying that he's going to say, I'm going to run everything, I'm going to draft everybody, but he would be able to come in conjunction with a situation. Because right now, is it Elliot Wolf that's there in New England?
Yes. And Alonzo Highsmith is in there, too, yes.
So You do wonder how much of that is the case. Like, what was Mike Vrabel going to be permitted to do here if he would have even wanted it? What would be the structure?
I don't know. I don't know. And I think that's going to be another conversation they have to have. Do you think that this thing is going to get that much better next year?
Well, I think, honestly, I do think it could, because
I really hope. I don't know if it can.
Primarily, they still have some good players. Now, I know I saw a lot, and I kind of mocked this over the weekend. The Browns aren't that far away. That's the league. The league is all, you're 1 year from making the playoffs, no matter how bad it is. Carolina could make the playoffs next year. That's the way the league is. We saw Washington do it this year. We saw Houston do it the year before. Every year, you are a year away from making the playoffs. Now, there normally have been 16 turnover every year, where six teams that didn't make the playoffs. This year, it's four. Four teams that didn't make the playoffs last year made the playoffs this year, and some teams got bounced out. We were one of those teams that got bounced out. It's always where if you have a even average year quarterback, you can make the playoffs. But could Kirk Cousins come in and have an average year?
I got to call you out.
Yes, that could happen.
See, you're
but
doing
does
the
that
same...
help them? Does that help them long term to where they want to get to?
Making the playoffs is always a good thing. I don't care what anybody says. Making the play, I know Steelers
but
fans
if it
are
comes
upset.
At the expense,
making the playoffs is a good thing.
If it comes at the expense of a rookie quarterback, that is not always the best thing. That just kind of kicks the can a year.
No, because I've sat through this. I've sat through despair. I would always take what the Steelers have right now than what we've had to deal with. I mean, I had more faith in them from 2016 going into the 2017 season when they actually went 0-16 than I think I do right now. I mean,
put it this way, Tone. Yeah, I hear you, Ken, and I'm not even screaming at you. I'm just saying the Joe Flacco run was awesome.
Yeah.
But it cost them Drake May. It cost them Bo Nix. It cost them Jaden Dan. You know what I mean? That is the expense. So, okay, let's say they bring in Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, whatever, and they make the playoffs next year. What quarterbacks does that
but
take them out of the next year?
I can't buy in on this feast or famine thought that you have, because it's always famine with us.
I know.
You
know, nothing works out.
That is, yeah, exactly. Like, when I have to live it, like you and Bill Barnwell and everybody, You guys make sense about it until it actually has to be put into practice, and I have to live through it. So I could sit there and talk about the wonders of tanking, except it doesn't seem to work out for us. It seems to work out every now and then with a couple other teams, except I can bring up the Jets who tanked it out, and they tanked it out a couple times, and they suck up the room every year, and it's always a year away for them. Why is it always a year away for all these other teams that don't tank it out?
I know.
But it's not a year away for us. So, no, I'm not going to buy in on that. In your plan... Really, it sounds like a hope. I mean, you're calling me out for not saying about firing Andrew Berry because I just won't allow myself to say it. You're making me out to be a clown. I'm not even yelling at you and getting personal. I understand I sound like a clown just because I won't bring myself to say it. Okay? Which I'd just be another one at this circus right now. But I'm going to call you out and say, your plan is, it's the NFL? We just throw up our arms and say it's the NFL? I'm paying a guy in San Diego. I'm not paying him anything, but they're paying a guy over in San Diego millions of dollars. Yeah, it's the NFL. Oh, I'm glad it's the NFL. I didn't realize that. In the league that we finish with double-digit losses every single year, it seems, with the exception of a few sweet, glorious years that we cling on to over the last 25. But I'm supposed to go, well, it's the NFL. They can do whatever. So let's just take whatever quarterback. Well, no. No, this is even though it's a fantasy, we're living our real lives through this. And it was easier for me to buy into what you were saying when I was 26 years old or 25 years old and the fan was just starting up. Now I'm 38, and now all the old guys used to call me up at night, starting to make some sense.